from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo expresses his gratitude and appreciation to Olympic athletes. Indonesian government and Nusantara Capital Authority continue to prepare digital infrastructure in new capital. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed his gratitude and highest appreciation to Indonesian athletes who competed to make the nation proud at the 2024 Paris Olympic. In a statement at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Thursday, Jokowi appreciated the achievement of Fedrik Leonardo, who won a gold medal in the men's speed climbing. He also expressed the same appreciation to Rizky Juniansyah, who won a gold medal in the men's 73kg weightlifting, and Gregoria Mariska Tunjung, who won a bronze medal in badminton women's singles. President Joko Widodo further said that the success raises optimism and hope for other Indonesian athletes to achieve higher achievement in international events. He also affirmed that this achievement is the result of a long process, including talent identification, continuous training, and the hard work of coaches and support teams from various sports. The Ministry of State Apparatus Empowerment and Bureaucratic Reform Kemenpan RB, along with the Nusantara Capital Authority OIKN, continue to prepare digital infrastructure in the context of implementing the Electronic-Based Government System, or SPBE, in Nusantara Capital. This was conveyed by Minister of State Apparatus Empowerment and Bureaucratic Reform Abdullah Azwar Anas after attending the awarding of service and honor marks at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. According to Minister Anas, the readiness of digital infrastructure is important so that the State Civil Apparatus, or ISN, can work with digital concepts. Moreover, he also explained about the new work pattern of State Civil Apparatus through the implementation of shared offices in new capital to improve coordination and collaboration between government agencies. The shared offices means in one office building or even the same floor, there will be several government agencies among groups of ministries or agencies. He gave examples in other countries such as Australia and New Zealand that have implemented shared offices. Minister of Youth and Sports Dito Aryo Tejo underscored the importance of properly preparing the national flag raising troop Paskibraka for the Independence Day ceremony in Nusantara without compromising the religious beliefs of their members. The minister made the statement at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Thursday in response to the controversy emerging from female Muslim hijab-wearing flag raisers allegedly instructed to remove their veils during an introduction ceremony earlier. A hijab is a headscarf worn by many Muslim women to cover their hair, neck, and ears, while typically leaving the face uncovered. Director General of Immigration of the Indonesian Ministry of Law and Human Rights, Kemenkumham, Silmi Karim, encourages the protection of migrant workers from the dangers of criminal acts of trafficking in persons because of their contribution to quality and inclusive economic growth in ASEAN. Silmi conveyed this at the 27th ASEAN Director General of Immigration and Head of Consular Affairs Division of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs meeting forum in Nha Trang, Vietnam, on Wednesday. Silmi also explained that the new mode of human trafficking cases involving Indonesian citizens is online fraud scheme, such as fraudulent investment, love scams, and money laundering. One hand, the victims are recruited and trapped with promises of lucrative jobs in neighboring countries, but instead end up in the trap of exploitation. On the other hand, the Director General of Immigration views that cooperation among ASEAN member countries makes a significant contribution to efforts to repatriate Indonesian citizens who are victims of human trafficking. Let's move on to the international news, where Ukraine says its forces are continuing their advance into Russian territory, moving forward in several directions. Russia's western border region of Kursk came under a surprise attack last week, leading Russian authorities to declare a state of emergency in the area. As reported by BBC.com, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said troops had advanced 1 to 2 kilometers farther into Kursk since Wednesday morning and had also captured 100 Russian soldiers. But Russia claims it has stopped any further advances. Now in its second week, this is Ukraine's deepest incursions into Russia since Moscow launched its full-scale invasion in 2022. Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Faisal bin Farhan received a telephone call from his Cypriot counterpart on Wednesday. As reported by ArabNews.com, during the call, Prince Faisal had Konstantinos Kombos discuss the crisis in the Gaza Strip and its security and humanitarian repercussions. Amid the surging demand for semiconductor engineers driven by the AI boom, many companies are turning to Vietnam for its talent pool and competitive labor cost, positioning the nation as a magnet for major players in the chip industry. As reported by VOVworld.vn, AI chip technologies, Chinese Taipei's leading provider of AI chip design services, is expanding its R&D team into Vietnam, where it is planning to open its first office this year. President and CEO Nikkei Asia, Johnny Shen, said that Vietnam's promising pool of engineering talent and their strong work ethic make it a highly attractive option for them. He has been impressed by the dedication and commitment of Vietnamese engineers who are eager to learn and contribute. Listener, now let's move on to Diplomatic Corner.
Today's Diplomatic Corner highlight, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs emphasizes the vital role of students in Indonesian-Australia relations. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has highlighted the crucial role of Indonesian students in Australia in strengthening the relationship between the two countries. Adi Zulfuad, Director of Pacific and Oceania Affairs at the Ministry, stated that the Indonesian students in Australia play a significant role in fostering stronger ties between the two nations as they pursue their education, interact with Australian peers, and represent Indonesia's rich cultural heritage and values. Government officials were invited to share their expertise in policymaking and regulatory thinking. Academics and researchers were asked to present research-based insights, while industry practitioners shared their real-world experiences on industry growth. Meanwhile, Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Penny Williams and Indonesian Ambassador to Australia Siswo Pramono delivered their opening speeches via video recording. Both emphasized the importance of the conference as a strategic platform for exchanging ideas and knowledge among Indonesian students to address complex issues in Indonesia and their role in strengthening the bilateral relationship. That was Diplomatic Corner.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Oh. Listener, we begin today in history on August 15th, Japan unconditionally surrendered to the Allies. Japanese Emperor Hirohito directly conveyed the decision of Japan's unconditional surrender to the Allies over the national radio on August 15th, 1945. The decision stemmed from the attack of two atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima on August 6, 1945, and Nagasaki on August 9, 1945. In addition, the Soviet Union also invaded the Japanese army in Manchuria. The devastation caused by the two atomic bombs made the Japanese government see that they could no longer avoid defeat from the Allies. The surrender of Japan to the Allies marked the end of World War II. We move to another event about India gained independence from Britain. On August 15, 1947, India achieved full independence from Britain. The event ended British rule in India, which has lasted approximately 190 years. The Indian independence movement began during World War I and was led by Mohandas Gandhi, or known as Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi is considered to be a person who has great merit for India's independence. Mahatma Gandhi took the path of non-violent struggle to fight the colonizers in his country. Gandhi only experienced independence for a few months because a Hindu extremist assassinated him on January 30, 1948. We end today in history with the end of the conflict between the Free Aceh Movement and the government of Indonesia. Conflict between the Free Aceh Movement, or GAM, and the Indonesian government ended with the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding in Helsinki, Finland on 15th August 2005. The memorandum was a commitment to resolve the armed conflict in Aceh in a peaceful, comprehensive, sustainable, and dignified manner. With the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding, the movement declared an end to its 29-year effort to secede from Indonesia. In addition, the Free Aceh Movement handed over thousands of weapons to be destroyed and the Aceh Nogara Army as the movement's military wing was disbanded. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Benarkah semua ini yang kau harap? Tak cukupkah dirimu lukai hatiku? Sengsara aku, aku.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Environment Ministry says 330 billion rupiah used for Mentawir Nursery in Nusantara. Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya on Monday said the Mentawir Nursery in Nusantara in East Kalimantan used some 330 billion rupiah for seed production. She explained that her ministry play a role as a supporter in the project with focus on plant seeds production to make Nusantara and even Kalimantan green. This year, the workers have produced 16 million seeds, with 6 million of them produced and almost 4 million of the seeds were distributed. The ministry was also committed to restoring the Kalimantan tropical forest and support the bird ecosystem by planting various trees including fruit and decorative plants such as teba buya. The Mentawir Nursery reached 40 minutes from Nusantara National Axis by motor vehicle, officially has operated since Tuesday after being inaugurated by President Joko Widodo. In the nursery, there are seeds of Kalimantan endemic trees such as shorea, campora, Borneo tallow nut, ironwood, shorea leaves, as well as various guavas to be planted at several spots for animal feed. There is also a germplasm center in Mentawir Nursery for biodiversity conservation needs. The biobank and seed bank in the nursery will store important plant seeds such as shorea and dry obalanops, which are increasingly rare in the wild. About Mentawir Nursery, President Joko Widodo affirmed the importance of the nursery as a foundation to make Nusantara and the whole East Kalimantan green again. Meanwhile, the ministry's head for Environment and Forestry Standardization and Innovation Agency, Ari Sudijanto, said that the ministry also supported the development of the new capital city by preparing and implementing reference standards to realize the forest city concept. According to him, forest city development is a strategic policy and very relevant to the environment and forestry sector, which requires some standard in its realization. Speaking in a discussion about preparatory synergy and standard for forest city development in Nusantara during the festival Like 2 in Jakarta, Ari Sudijanto explained that the forest city concept in Nusantara is an idea of a forest-based city with 75% of area will be green with 65% tropical forest area. At the same occasion, the Nusantara Authority's Director for Environment and Disaster Mitigation, Onesimus Patiung, conveyed that Nusantara was designed to be a neutral emission city, but it faces challenges and therefore needs solution and support from many. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Kering kerontang jalannya.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Indonesia's Independence Day is not only celebrated with a flag ceremony, but also with competitions. One of the competitions often held during Independence Day is the sack race. As the name suggests, the traditional game uses sacks as the main tool. Usually the type of sack used in Indonesia is the gunny sack. Gunny sacks are used because they are thicker and more durable compared to other sacks. In sack races, usually 5 to 7 players take part in the race. Each player will wear a gunny sack and start racing by jumping. The player who reaches the finish line first will be declared the race winner. Even though it looks easy, it actually requires good physical ability to win this race. It is common for each player to fall and roll over in the racing arena. This atmosphere makes the competition even more exciting. As time goes by, the sack experience changes and other forms of variation. One of the game's variation is a sack race using a helmet. The competition is usually held for children. As quoted from Jakarta's Office of Cultural Affairs website, the Indonesian terms of sack race or balap karung was first used in the Kebayoran Baru, South Jakarta. No archive explains the origin of the sack race in Indonesia. However, the game is believed to have been played by the people of Jakarta, especially the Betawi people, the native people of Jakarta, since the Dutch colonial period. The game was originally played by children aged 6 to 12 at the Dutch schools of...
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Dear listeners, today's editions of Miscellany comes again with the title The Capital Cities of Nusantara and Jakarta Hold 79th Independence Day Celebrations. Well, listener, this year's 79th Independence Day Celebrations is quite special, because it is held in two locations simultaneously, namely in the capital of Nusantara in Jakarta. A series of activities entitled Nusantara Baru, Indonesia Maju, or New Nusantara Advanced Indonesia, shows the transitions of moving the capital city from Jakarta to Nusantara capital, and at the same time, the transitions of the continuity of government to the new government. The 1 month activities was opened with a national remembrance and prayer on August 1st at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. There are various activities held during the 79th anniversary of Indonesian independence, such as the inaugurations of the Pusaka Flag Raising Troops, or Paskibraka, by President Joko Widodo, which was held in the Nusantara capital city, the awarding of Badge of Honor at the State Palace, Jakarta, as well as the state speech and submissions of the draft state budget and financial notes at the Nusantara building of the House of Representatives, People's Consultative Assembly, and Regional Representative Council of the Republic of Indonesia. This year, the celebration is also different, since the ceremony of honor and the holy reflection will be held in two places, namely at the Kalibata Hero Cemetery, led by the Vice President, then at Kusuma Bangsa Park in the Nusantara capital, led by the President. The ceremony will be held in the morning at midnight local time on August 17th. The Independence Proclamation Ceremony in the capital city of Nusantara will be led by President Joko Widodo, accompanied by President-elect Prabowo Subianto. Meanwhile, the ceremony at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta will be led by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin, accompanied by Vice President-elect Gibran Rakabuming Raka. The ceremony at the capital city of Nusantara will begin at 11 a.m. or 10 a.m. Jakarta time. Meanwhile, the entertainment program will be held at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, starting at 8:30 a.m. The 79th Indonesian Independence Ceremonies in the capital city of Nusantara in Jakarta will be conducted in a hybrid. Ceremonies in two places will be connected with screens that show each other's activities in each place. That was Miscellany.
We'll be right back. kita dulu, tangis dan tawa terbawa dalam mimpi. Takkan ku lupakan dirimu, teman lamaku, sosok sahabat yang kini begitu amat ku benci. Satu yang
Songs Indonesia.
Listener, here is a song by Rida Sita Dewi. Rida Sita Dewi, or RDS for short, was a popular trio in Indonesia during the 90s. They consisted of Rida Farida, Sita Nursanti, and Dewi, or D. Lestari. During their career, the Bandung bass group released 4 albums and 2 hits. Their main album was Antara Kita, or Between Us, released in September 1995. The main hits of the album was also titled Antara Kita, which was re-released by Monita Tahalea in 2018. Antara Kita is about an almost broken relationship, but after some breaks, the two lovers realize that they still love each other. Well, listener, here is Rida Sita Dewi with Antara Kita. Enjoy listening to the song.
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
Ku tak pandai berdusta, jujur saja kau boleh juga. Pungkiri hatinya mentiap kau ada. Caramu tersenyum tertawa dan merangkai canda, buatku terpesona. Dapatkah kau baca mataku bicara? Semua yang kau punya benar istimewa. Kisah kita pandai sembunyikan rasa. Meski berlagak tak mau kau tahu, ku merasakan yang sama. Caramu tersenyum tertawa merangkai canda buatku terpesona. Dapatkah kau baca mataku bicara? Semua yang kau punya benar istimewa. Sayangnya semesta tak restukan kisah.
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku sudah mulai lupa saat pertama rasakan lara oleh harapan yang pupus. Hingga hati cedera serius. Terima kasih kalian, barisan para mantan, dan semua yang pergi tanpa sempat aku miliki. Tak satu pun yang aku sesali, hanya membuatku semakin satu hal yang aku tahu, terkadang dia juga rindu. Terima kasih kalian, barisan para mantan, dan semua yang pergi tanpa sempat aku miliki. Tak satu pun yang aku sesali, hanya membuatku semakin terlatih.
Thank you you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma, signing out. Bye for now.